The question comes, should you pay for it using your asset pool? So do you just take money out of the your accounts and buy the home? You know, whether you build or buy it, or it doesn't really matter. Do you pay for it outright or do you finance it? And I think that's kind of where they stopped and said, hold on a second, maybe we don't know exactly the best way to go about this. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it is our goal to help you make informed decisions when it comes to your retirement and your hard-earned dollars.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
And we are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm entrusted by thousands of people all over the country for helping you focus more on your life and worrying less about your money. And Andrew, we've got a good case example today, talking travel again here.
Yeah, you know, it's a big topic in today's world, and the biggest thing that people look for, one of the biggest hobbies we see is traveling, and kind of getting used to that. So Mike and Tammy, 67, 62, they have about $1.4 million saved. They've been renting a lot in retirement. They've been going down, spending 2, 3, 4 months at a time down in Florida. The focus is now becoming, do we buy instead of continuing to rent? Yeah. So great topic to cover here today.
Yeah, hypothetical case example today here with Mike and Tammy. And ultimately, the last time we talked about this, we talked more about budgeting. How do you budget travel into your retirement expense list? This is more so, as you'll see, Mike and Tammy, they can afford it. What they're trying to figure out is, you know, they really enjoy their time down there. And some of their friends own homes down there, and they've never owned a second home. So we're going to break this down for you. And at the end, we're going to tell you whether Mike and Tammy have a red, yellow, or green light verdict here on whether or not they can afford to buy that second home.
Absolutely.
So let's jump in.
Yeah. Love bringing this type of material to you guys. If you like this type of discussion, make sure that you like the video, subscribe to our page for so you don't miss any future content regarding these relevant retirement topics.
Yeah, and feel free to drop your scenario in the comments if you'd like to see us cover something specifically to what you got going on in your retirement life. But let's focus on Mike and Tammy's situation here. So they retired a few years ago, and at first they weren't really quite sure exactly how they would spend the majority of their time in retirement. And like a lot of people that we see, they decided to take that retirement vacation. Right away, getting out of the cold weather. Let's go down and spend a couple of weeks down in Florida where it's warmer in the winter. And they loved it. Like a lot of people do, they said, hey, we're going to do this every year. And for the last couple of years, they've extended their stay. And in today's world with VRBO and Airbnb, really easy to rent for weeks and months on time. But they're starting to wonder a couple of things. Can we afford to just own a home down there? Whether we rent it out when we're not using it or not is kind of irrelevant to them at this point. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they can and they want to, but they're not quite sure if it fits into the overall financial picture, and they don't want to make a mistake here.
Yeah. And you know, it's pretty easy, Jet, to go from like 2 weeks to 3 weeks to 4 weeks coming from the Midwest and then going down to Florida. So we feel Mike and Tammy here that they just want to continue to extend that a little bit Midwest down
to
Florida.
At the time of the recording here, it is not warm here. So I don't know when you're watching, but.
So Mike and Tammy, though, $1.4 million saved, right?
Yep.
Roughly $850,000 of that is in IRA qualified accounts, $550,000 roughly in, you know, joint brokerage type of accounts. Between Social Security and pension, they have about $4,200 a month coming in that they're using for living expenses. Their lifestyle then requires about $3,000 a month in addition that they're pulling off of that $1.4 million, to supplement their cash flow.
Yeah. So it's pretty small overall withdrawal rate compared to what they have.
2.5%, 2.6% roughly is what they're taking from their portfolio. So, as you alluded to early on, this isn't really a budgeting conversation. They have a green light, you know, when it comes to...
There's the reveal, green light already.
If you want to buy, you know, does it make sense? We got to talk logic now, because you can afford this. This lifestyle is affordable to you, because they're pretty frugal in everything else they're doing. So, you know, there's a few things that come up in a scenario like this that we have to ask ourselves.
Yeah. Let's back up first. So, you know, if I were advising a scenario like this, the first thing I'd want to know from Mike and Tammy is, what size home, what price of home are you thinking that you might want to buy down in Florida? Because that can change the red, yellow, green light verdict pretty quickly if they're unrealistic with their expectation. In this case, they say about $300,000 is what we want to spend on a home down there for a permanent residence or a second residence. They are willing to rent it out when they're not using it. Not that that impacts their ability to purchase it, but that does change the dynamic a little bit, because we've seen plenty of people who say, no, I don't want to rent it out at all. I'm not going to become a landlord. That's not the case for Mike and Tammy. They know they're not going to use it for several months out of the year. So they're willing to rent it out. And a lot of people give it to family members and whatnot for free and so on and so forth. And then the question comes, should you pay for it using your asset pool? So do you just take money out of your accounts and buy the home? You know, whether you build or buy it, or it doesn't really matter. Do you pay for it outright, or do you finance it? And I think that's kind of where they stopped and said, hold on a second, maybe we don't know exactly the best way to go about this.
Yeah. And this is one of those, it's totally independent to each person's situation, but you know, it's no surprise here. We're a big fan of getting rid of debt while you're in retirement. So I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have some debt. Obviously you can. And if it's logical, if interest rates are low and it just makes sense to make those monthly payments, then hey, there is some logic to that. If your money is making more than what.
There's periods of time where there's smarter times to have that kind of debt than there are others. Right. So.
But in the grand scheme of things, when I can see a situation like this where they can afford to take some money off the top of the portfolio, pay that thing outright, and free up all that cash flow instead of having a mortgage, you know, to finance. And then on top of that, the fact that they're willing to rent, and so you actually have cash flow coming in from that, whatever that amount is, that's covering, you know, as long it's probably covering at least the additional expenses that come with owning a second home, taxes and insurance and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it depends on your situation, whether you buy or finance, but more often than not, if you can afford it, just pay it outright and get it done. Now, taxes can come into play. If it's all qualified money, then it might not make sense to do all in one lump sum. We've advised some people before, Jet, you know, finance it, take out a 15 or a 30-year mortgage, whatever, with the mindset that the plan is that we're going to chunk that thing off in maybe a 3-year period,
sure. You
know, just to spread out some tax liability and get rid of it. It just depends.
With Mike and Tammy, the nice thing that they have going for them, let's assume for a second that they go, we don't want to finance it. We have the money. We know we can afford to do this. If we decrease that $1.4 million by the cost of purchasing this home outright, our withdrawal rate is still in a good space. You know, because when we say that they were running, you know, they needed about $3,000 per month in addition to what they have coming in from Social Security and pensions, they're already factoring in Florida expenses and costs there. That's all been budgeted.
Yep.
So let's say they come to you and they go, hey, Andrew, no, we're not financing this. We want to buy it. They've got both non-qualified money, that brokerage account, $550,000, they've got IRA money. So what are you telling them? How are you helping them decipher, do we take money out of an IRA to do this? Do we take it out of a non-qualified? Do we do a combination approach? What do you do?
Yeah, good question. And again, it kind of depends situation, but you know, I think depending on what their other income looks like, which we know, you know, Social Security, pension, things of that nature, what I'd be looking at there is how much IRA money can we pull that doesn't go into, you know, whether it's a higher tax bracket or what a lot of people don't pay attention to, a lot of advisors out there don't pay attention to, is IRMA.
Yep. Mike's 67.
Yeah.
So he's on Medicare.
He's on Medicare. So there's thresholds of your income that if they hit certain levels, your Medicare premiums can almost double depending on the bracket you fall into. So what we would look at is, hey, how much can we still take out from the IRA, pay the taxes on it now, stay within that threshold, And then whatever the difference is, let's use that after tax money, that brokerage account to fund that. So again, it kind of depends situation on your scenario, but I think some sort of combination, some way, you know, one way or the other is going to make the most sense.
Here's another pitfall that I've seen some people succumb to in this situation. They know what it costs them to rent for an extended period of time down there. But when you buy, especially down in Florida, depending on where you buy, you've got to watch out for some hidden additional expenses that you might not think about. So you're talking about insurance. You're talking about homeowners association fees. You're talking about how does your access to healthcare providers change? Mm-hmm. Does your state of primary residence change, and when, and what do you got to do to actually have that become effective? You know, because that's a big call for people that want to move down to Florida. You know, no state income tax down there.
Yep.
You know, if you're coming from a state that does have state income tax, your immediate thought is, oh, this is going to be better. But, you know, insurances can cost a lot more down there. You might not be in an HOA up here. So that's something that probably not a huge impact to their overall situation, but they could be surprised if they don't take some of those things into consideration when they're talking about, okay, pulling out $3,000 a month in addition, is that still going to cut it? Or are we going to need a little bit more during the year because we have this residence in Florida?
Yeah. I think the bottom line there is that even in a situation where you feel very confident we can do this, there's still more planning that has to go into it. We always stress that there's so many details that you have to cover. And this is just like every other situation. Yes, it's a no-brainer. Mike and Tammy can do this. They can afford it. But there are still the best practices of how to do it. The details, you know, lay in the plan. You got to have a plan.
Mike and Tammy have a green light, as we've said here with this scenario. But if you have a financial advisor, someone that you like and trust that you're working with, do not pull the trigger on something like this until you have a thought out conversation and you've done some of the things and had some of the conversation that we've talked about here. You won't regret it. And if you don't have a financial advisor that you like and trust, find somebody. Find someone that can give you a second opinion, who is a fiduciary, who can think of all the different angles as it relates to your financial plan and make sure that you don't make the silly mistakes. You can so easily avoid some of the silly mistakes with this type of a scenario.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're looking for some additional tailored advice on financial planning or other retirement planning situations like we've been talking about on Rise in Retirement, consider joining our Ascend 360 Insider. It's a weekly video emailed to you every single Thursday around 9 a.m. and just packed with valuable information and retirement tips that could lead you to a more successful retirement.
Yeah, become an insider today. It's super easy. It's free. There's no obligation. Hit the link in the description below to join the Ascend 360 Insider community. You won't regret it. And make sure that you like today's video. Give us a thumbs up. Drop a comment if you have a question. Again, we talked about wanting to cover some more of your personal scenarios in here. So drop your scenario in the comments and we might just cover that on the next Rise in Retirement.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Rise in Retirement.